Welcome back to Insight Live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. If you live in California and you have children, you are being asked by the state to follow age guidelines and vaccinate your children against measles. This would be the MMR vaccine for measles, mumps, and rubella. Not all parents believe in vaccinating children, but it is a highly contagious disease. Measles is. It can have serious complications, and it spreads quickly where vaccination rates are low. In our ongoing Great Question series, CAP Radio's healthcare reporter Sammy Cayola has collected the questions that have been coming in from listeners, some from our own staff, in fact, and she's here now with those questions and some answers. Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with countries where measles are and some of the countries where measles are being imported from.
Right. So we've seen four outbreaks in California. They're linked to international travelers. And we've had 45 cases in the state. 30 of them are tied to these outbreaks. The rest are standalone cases. But we're seeing adults traveling to other countries and bringing the disease back. The countries that the California Department of Public Health has noted where these people have been are the Philippines, Thailand, India, Ukraine, Vietnam, and Cambodia.
The CDC says across the country right now there have been more than 800 cases in what's considered these recent outbreaks. And there is a little bit of a weather factor here, the seasonal change that should be making a difference at some point.
Yeah, typically this is a winter disease. So you see the cases start to level out when the weather gets warmer. But, you know, we are still seeing new cases each week because people are bringing them back from countries where the disease is more common. And then when they get back to the U.S., if the people around them aren't vaccinated, it's still spreading.
Of the 45 cases in California, are any of them in patients who have been vaccinated against measles?
So actually, yes. So the numbers show that of all of these adults that brought measles back, three quarters were not vaccinated or were under-vaccinated. So, most people were either unvaccinated or under-vaccinated. But there were some people that had all their shots. And Dr. Gil Chavez, deputy director for the state's Center for Infectious Diseases, has more on that.
And then we had a few who had the two full doses of measles. Now, you have to remember that measles is a very, very effective vaccine, one of the most effective vaccines we have. Two doses provide 97% protection. But that means that even in the best of cases, 3% of people who are immunized are not fully protected. And when you multiply 3% by 30 million people in California, that's a lot of people that potentially could be susceptible to measles, even if they were vaccinated.
Let's clarify, this is a two-dose vaccine. So if you're under-vaccinated, what they're saying is you've only had one of the two doses.
Right. And what he's saying is, even if you get both doses, there's still this kind of small chance that you could catch measles and bring it back. But for the most part, the people that brought the disease back from overseas had no doses or just the one dose, the underdose, like you said.
So if you are planning international travel right now, health officials are advising.
Yeah, make sure your shots are up to date. And if you're not sure, call your doctor.
How long does the measles vaccine stay effective? Is this one of those that adults need booster shots for?
Tricky question. It depends on the year you were born. So some adults do, some adults don't. If you're born after 1989, you probably got both doses and you don't need to be revaccinated. If you were born between 1957 and 1988, you may have gotten that single dose version, which is less effective. But still, officials are not recommending that you revaccinate unless you're traveling internationally or you work in healthcare. Then there's this kind of special group between 1963 and 1967 that probably got an alternate version of the vaccine that wasn't effective. So those people should get revaccinated. And if you were born before 1957, you most likely caught measles as a child and you have natural immunity. So you should not get revaccinated unless you're traveling internationally or you work in healthcare. So it's a complicated puzzle. Just tell your doctor what year you were born and consult them.
I think that aspect of natural immunity is interesting. We think about that for chickenpox, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you had it, if you remember having it as a kid or your mom or dad remember you having it, you're probably okay.
All right. If the cases are being brought in from unvaccinated adults traveling to countries where measles is common, then
then why is so much of the conversation around school-age children not getting their shots?
So the risk of getting measles from abroad and bringing it back is always going to be a risk, and not too much has changed in that situation. But when somebody brings it back and everyone around them is vaccinated, it just is usually a standalone case, and that person is sick and they get better. But when they bring it back to a community where many, many people are not vaccinated, especially children who are so good at spreading disease, you know, they touch everything, they touch each
right.
other. So if a case comes back to a community like that, it's going to spread quickly. And that's why we're seeing these big outbreaks. And it's that situation is changing because the vaccination rates in some communities are dipping. Dr. Karen Smith is the director of the California Department of Public Health. So she says there's really two goals here, right? One is trying to make sure people are vaccinated before they go abroad. And the other is make sure people here are vaccinated.
One of the reasons that most of the travelers who've returned to California with measles have not spread it to others is because we have high vaccination rates in the state of California overall. A major part of that is ensuring that children entering school are vaccinated. Since SB 277, the law that restricted exemptions to medical exemptions passed, we saw an almost 5% increase in vaccinations across the state of California. That demonstrates just how valuable school requirements for vaccination are to ensuring that we have good community resistance to measles as it's imported into California.
So she's talking about the law in 2016 that banned personal belief exemptions. So basically, the only way you can get an exemption now is if it's a medical exemption. You have to have a doctor sign off on a form. And, you know, once the personal belief exemptions were banned, we actually saw vaccination rates rise across the state. You know, more kids were getting vaccinated. But we did see also the medical exemptions bump up. And there is some concern that people might be falsifying those medical exemptions. And so that's this year's bill, SB 276. It's a bill from Democratic Senator Richard Pan. And it would give the state health department the final say on whether a medical exemption is valid or not.
This can be such a difficult and delicate conversation to have around the subject of vaccinations. And I am talking with Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kayola. We are talking about questions that both you, listeners, and our members of our own staff have posed about measles. In fact, we've had some very lively meetings in our newsroom with all of us firing questions at you. What are some of the medical reasons that vaccinations are postponed and in some cases children aren't vaccinated at all? Now, this is medical reasons.
Yeah, there are a few legitimate medical reasons that kids should not get their shots or maybe need to wait a little longer. People with severe life-threatening allergies might be told not to get certain shots. If someone has a weakened immune system, diseases such as cancer or HIV/AIDS, someone who's in radiation or chemotherapy, they probably can't get vaccinated. And there are quite a few restrictions. You can find them on the CDC website. And patients should just tell their vaccine provider. Tell them if you've had tuberculosis, if you've recently had a blood transfusion, or if you have a close family member with a history of immune system problems. But really talk to the person who's giving you the vaccine, and they'll be able to tell you whether you fall into that exemption category. And, you know, just what we're seeing in the schools is schools where, you know, half the children have medical exemptions, but these conditions are pretty rare. So the state is concerned because they're saying, well, not half the kids in the school have cancer or HIV/AIDS, right? So something might be going on with these medical forms.
Then there are the age guidelines. Is it true that children under 1 year of age can't be vaccinated for measles?
So there are times when you can vaccinate an infant who is 6 months to 12 months old. And they're recommending that for infants who are traveling abroad. And for some infants who are at high risk, if they're living in communities with low vaccination rates.
Okay.
But we're talking about 6 months to 12 months. The reason that they're not recommending it for the 0 to 6 month period is because at that stage in life, you actually have some natural immunity from your mom. And I talked to a vaccine expert, Dr. Paul Affitt with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia about that.
The MMR vaccine can be given down to 6 months of age in an outbreak situation. So, for example, for children who are currently in Brooklyn or Detroit or Baltimore, and the, you know, the physician or the parent is worried that they've been exposed or that they might be exposed to measles. The reason you don't need to get it before that is that mothers typically of the young babies have been vaccinated, so they will passively transfer those protective antibodies to the baby through the placenta prior to birth, and that'll protect the child in the first few months of life.
That they might be exposed. He's saying if you're really worried about your child and they're 6 months and older, that you can bring them in and ask your physician for an early vaccination. But it's really supposed to be given after the first year.
Yeah, in a typical setting, that first dose is given to children between 12 and 15 months of age, that first
MMR.
The
first dose, right? And then the second dose usually comes when they're 4 to 6 years old.
Okay. So let's get to something called vaccine injury. And we've had a number of listeners ask about this. I think people are becoming more aware that there can be something called vaccine injury. But what is it and how often does it happen?
So I get this concern a lot when I'm out reporting, especially with a lot of parents who are opposed to vaccines or hesitant. You know, serious side effects are very, very rare. They can happen, but they don't happen often. So serious side effects would include, you know, sorry, give me one second, I lost it. So like an allergic reaction would be a serious side effect. Long-term seizures and brain damage, but these are listed by the CDC as very rare conditions. Moderate events would be sort of joint stiffness or some unusual bleeding or bruising after a vaccine. And then there are minor incidents, you know, like a fever after or a rash or a swollen gland. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of doctors about this and they say, you know, the chance that your child will get a fever after this, it's a small price to pay for protection from something like measles, which can be a very serious and fatal disease. And so, you know, I don't want to overblow these injuries because they are so rare. Just to give you a little perspective, the CDC keeps a database where people can file if they believe that they've been harmed by a vaccine or their child's been harmed. And that database sees about 30,000 reports each year, and 90% of them are mild side effects, the kinds of things I described before, joint stiffness, bleeding or bruising. So very few of those reports are a serious condition. And just because it's in the database, it's not a causation, right? These are just people reporting, okay, I got a shot and now I have this, right? But it's not proven that it was caused. So there has been a lot of misinformation about this. And the science just largely says that vaccines are safe and that serious side effects are rare. Vaccines do not cause autism. That's been widely debunked by major medical groups and scientific research. So, you know, I would direct people to the Centers for Disease Control website for more information.
Has a court ever compensated a petitioner claiming that a vaccine caused autism?
Yeah, so it's interesting. There's this federal vaccine injury compensation program. Some people call it vaccine court. And it's where you can kind of take your case and say, hey, I thought I was injured. You need to compensate me. And between 2006 and 2016, there were more than 3 billion doses of vaccines distributed, and only about 3,000 petitions were compensated. Well, closer to 4,000. It's in between. Basically, for every 1 million doses of vaccine that were distributed, one individual was compensated. So in most of these cases, they don't find a causation.
But that was a number related to autism specifically?
No. No one has ever been compensated for a vaccine causing autism. So these petitions I'm talking about that went to the vaccine court, the one in a million that were compensated were for various other injuries.
Okay, I want to go back over that again because I think this is really important.
So there's a vaccine court. People can petition if they believe they've been harmed. But no one has ever been compensated for claiming that a vaccine caused autism.
Okay. But they have been compensated for other issues, but you don't know specifically what issues the compensation was for?
No. So there were about 3,737 petitions that were compensated over a 10-year period for any variety of injury that people may have filed for. But keep in mind, that's a very small number of compensations when you look at the 3.1 billion doses of vaccines given during that decade. So essentially, you know, one in every million doses ended with a compensation.
One thing that might be important to point out is that some of the data we're talking about is available on the CDC's website or by doing some investigation. It's not that it's hidden or secret or Freedom of Information Act information. It is accessible.
Absolutely. If you look up the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, you can look up all of the petitions, who filed them, whether they were compensated or not. And you can also find the database where you can report if you believe something happened after a vaccine.
I do want to ask about quarantine with relation to measles and when and if quarantine is necessary.
So it can be. Generally, when someone comes back from abroad and they've gone to the doctor and the doctor tells the local health department, yes, this is a confirmed case of measles, they'll ask that person to stay inside for 3 weeks. That's how long the disease takes to run its course, just so that person doesn't spread it any further. Then there are situations where if they think a lot of people have been exposed, say it's a school with a low vaccination rate, and there's been at least one confirmed case of measles, they might ask everyone at that school to quarantine themselves. It's just an effort to prevent further spread, and it can be disruptive. And, you know, some people think it's extreme, but local health officials consult with the state health department to make the decision about when that's appropriate. Because, you know, when this disease spreads, if it gets to people who are already compromised or to babies, it can be really dangerous and really fatal.
Sammy, when you and I have a conversation like this, it could be easily either misheard or misunderstood, or someone might say, wait, what did she just say? I want to hear it again. So I do want everybody to know that all of this and more is on our website in a written form.
Yes, I wrote an entire digital article about this. Every question, every answer, there are links to the databases I've been talking about, links to the lists of medical questions. There are links to stories about the new bills being proposed. So I do encourage you to go online and to read up, because it's a complicated issue. But I think at the end of the day, it's the health officials in California and nationwide are being very clear. The safest thing you can do is vaccinate your child and vaccinate yourself if you're going abroad. Even if you're not going abroad, still vaccinate your child because it will protect others in the community.
All right, Sammy. Our great question was many great questions this week. Thank you so much for joining us. That is Capital Public Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kayola. And again, you can find her digital article, a lot of information, including the map of the measles cases in California, at capradio.org. This is Insight on Cap Radio.